Morning. It's a mighty beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. We got something to be thankful for, don't we? Yes, we do. He's been mighty good to us. Thanks for coming, bringing the spirit of worship this morning. Let's look at a few announcements. We see some listed in the bulletin this week, the 3rd at 10 a.m. Thursday, Bible study. Next Sunday, we'll be thinking about the college, University of Mount Olive, and taking up some collection for them. You see listed, if $150 or more, you will be classified as a bridge builder. Any donation will be appreciated. Checks be made to Mount Olive. Also, continue to pray about our mission statement every day at lunch. We have a prayer listed for you. You could add to that if you feel the need to. But we all won't be praying together about our mission. I have a card that says, with special thanks, this extra special thank you note sent to you today holds more appreciation than any words can say. Dear church family, we're so blessed to be a part of this loving church family. Words cannot express how we truly feel. Thank you so much for all the cards, calls, texts, hugs, visits, prayers, food, all donations, and for feeding my family during this time. Please continue to keep us all in your prayers daily. We love you all sincerely, Stephen Taylor family. Goes on to say, for you are among the nicest people I've ever known, and you'll never be forgotten for the thoughtfulness you've shown. Thanks for everything. And certainly thank all of you, and continue to remember this family and reach out to them and minister to them. Also, thank you for the cards and birthday wishes you sent to me. I'm another year older, and some days I feel like it and some days I don't, but it's good to have another year under the belt, so we'll look forward to another one down the road, so thank you all. Do we have any other announcements?
Men's prayer breakfast next Sunday, 7:30.
Okay. Men's prayer breakfast, 7:30 next Sunday. Any others? All right, take your bulletin stand and let's have our call to worship as we read together. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you.
My soul thirsts for you.
My flesh faints for you,
as in a dry and weary land.
So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory.
Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you.
So I'll bless you as long as I lift.
In your name I will lift up my hands.
Father God, we lift our hands and hearts to heaven this morning, thanking you for your blessings. As we come to worship, we want to feel your presence in ways we never dreamed possible as you minister to us through your spirit, through the word, and through each other. Bless all we do today, and may Jesus be magnified. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn to hymn 63. Hymn 63, sing verses 1, 2, and 5. All creatures of our God and King.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Dennis Hill has our scripture reading for us.
It's harder every time to step up here. The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. The New Testament reading is Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The word of God for the people of God.
Continue to worship this morning as we pray. Are there any names we need to remember this morning?
Libby.
Okay, it's Libby. Any others?
Ann Radford.
Who?
Ann Radford.
Okay. Any others?
The Kevin Spence family that lost a son last week.
Kevin Spence family. Okay. Any others? All right. Pray for one another, okay? And certainly be thankful to God for all he's done for us. Let's take action as we pray together this morning. God, we thank you for the opportunity to pray, and we lift these needs up to you this morning. with confidence, knowing that you know every need and you have a special plan in place to meet all these needs that are lifted. We remember needs that were not mentioned, unspoken needs this morning. And we know you're aware of those. And as we worship and pray, we just thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them in a way that's in accordance with your will. We pray for our church and all of our brothers and sisters in the faith throughout the world, our nation, its leaders. And we just thank you for all that you do for us. And we confess that many times we fall short of your glory, and we just ask today you'd forgive us of our sins and strengthen us that we can be the people that you created us to be. Bless this church and our mission as we pray, and may God be glorified in all the things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn to 499 and stand as we sing. 499, I will sing the wondrous story. Verses 1, 3, and 4. seated. Our scripture text today comes from Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 67. It's quite a narrative. We won't read it all. You can read it. It's a good story, but we're going to talk about it and see what the Lord has in store for us. We're still in a series called The Book of Beginnings with the book of Genesis. And today our thought is going to be a place in God's purpose. We have seen that God has had a purpose all since we started in the book of Genesis. And, you know, it's really taking God to really do something extraordinary to make all those things fall into place. And it's not any different today in the book of Genesis chapter 24. As we continue in the book of Genesis, we come to the story today of Isaac and Rebekah. Yeah, Isaac, as you may remember, was Abraham's son, the son that God had promised to Abraham and Sarah many years before, who was born when they were both very old. Isaac is now a grown man. He's wealthy like his father. Chapter 24, verse 1 starts out this way, and it says, Abraham was now not old, but very, very old. So he was very, very old, and he was very, very rich. And as the Bible says, quote, the Lord had blessed him in every way. You know, that's what God promised him. And God brought that about in his life. Abraham and his family now lived in the land of Canaan. But at this point in history, Canaan was not yet what it would become. Abraham and his family were outsiders. They were inhabitants of Canaan. The inhabitants there in Canaan worshipped a multitude of gods and followed some rather barbaric customs. And as we see Abraham and Sarah, they followed and obeyed the one true God who was known as Yahweh. As today's story begins, Sarah has passed away, and Adam knows that he is also in his twilight years. It's time to fully prepare Isaac to carry on what God had begun in Abraham. So one day he called on the senior servant of his household, and he said, promise me that you'll get my son a wife, and get one from the Canaanite people. Go back to my home country. Don't get them from the Canaanite people, I'm sorry. Do not get them from the Canaanite people, but go back to my home country, to my extended family, and find a wife for him there. And the servant said, well, what if she's not willing to leave her home and come live in this far away land? Should I send Isaac there? And Abraham said, absolutely not. God brought me to this land, and he has promised it to my descendants. And so she needs to come here. And if you can't find anyone who'll come here, then you're off the hook. But you got to go give it your best first. So the servant loaded up 10 camels with all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for the land of Aram, Naharlam. And when he arrived in the town of Nahor, he rested his camels near a well, and it was late afternoon, early evening, the time when many women came in the local community. They would come to draw water from the well. And so the servant began to pray. We see his prayer in verse 12 of 24. Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I'm standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you've chosen for your servant Isaac. By this, I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. This was kind of a strategic request. He knew that such a response would indicate that the woman would be hospitable and thoughtful and kind. And this was the type of woman he hoped to find for Isaac. And no sooner had he finished praying the prayer when Rebekah, who is the star of today's story, she arrived at the well. And the writer specifically mentions that she was very beautiful. This is quite uncommon in ancient Hebrew literature. to give a description of someone's physical appearance. She must have been breathtaking for it to be mentioned that way. So the servant said, give me a drink of water from your jar. And you can probably guess what Rebecca said. After she had given a drink, verse 19, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have had enough to drink. And then she quickly emptied the jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw more water and drew enough for all his camels. The whole time the servant was watching, you can imagine, not saying a word, but just looking. And I love how the Bible describes it in verse 21. It says, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. It looks like his prayer was answered right on the money, doesn't it? And as a way of saying thanks for his kindness, he gave her a ring for her nose and two gold bracelets. And then he asked, who is your father? As it turns out, her father was a man named Bethuel, and his father was Nahor, and who was also the father of Terah, who was the father of Abraham. So this meant Rebekah came from the right family. Imagine that. And it also means they were cousins. And, you know, today it seems strange that cousins would marry, but in those days it was acceptable and even preferable. In fact, I'll go ahead and tell you, there are a lot of aspects of this story that reflect ancient cultural values and traditions and customs that we no longer practice, but we'll leave that like it is so we can move on with the rest of the story. So Rebekah said to the servant, we have plenty of room at our house for you and your camels. You're welcome to stay with us. And the servant stopped right where he was, and it says he worshiped God. Verse 27, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. So Rebekah went home to tell her family to prepare for company while the servant followed behind. Rebekah had a brother named Laban. And when he saw the expensive jewelry that she was wearing, it kind of got his attention, you know. And he was eager to extend a warm welcome to these visitors. And when the servant arrived, Laban encouraged the entourage to come in and eat. But the servant said, first, I want to tell you why I'm here. So Laban said, well, you just lay it on us, brother. What you here for, you know? And this servant, he recounted the whole entire story about Abraham being wealthy and Sarah giving birth to a son or old age. And now the boy Isaac is grown. He's ready to be married. And Abraham wants Isaac to marry a girl from his native land. And he told him everything that happened up to this point into today's story. And then he asked Laban for permission to take Rebekah back to Isaac so they could be married. Laban said, well, it appears the Lord is in this. You have my blessing. She may go with you in 10 days. And I don't know why Laban wanted her to stay. Maybe he couldn't bear to think of his sister leaving. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to strike up a little better deal, take it into this family. I don't know. But anyway, the servant said, well, I got to leave right away. I can't wait 10 days. I must go now. Send me on my way. And so Laban said, well, let's see what Rebekah's got to say about this. And so they called Rebekah and asked her, and she said, will you go with this man? He said, I will. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way along with, the scripture says, her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. Now Isaac comes into the picture. He was at home living in the desert region, in what is now southern Israel, and he went out one evening to take a walk in the field to meditate. In other words, to pray. Way off in the distance, he could see camels approaching. So he began to move in their direction, and he caught Rebekah's eye. And she turned to the servant and said, who is this man coming to meet us? The servant said, he is my master. In other words, this is the man you're going to marry. And so Rebekah then covered her face with her veil because that was the custom. She was introduced to Isaac. Before long, they were husband and wife. And a lot of the way the New Living Translation words the final sentence of the day's story in verse 67, it said, and Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother's tent, and she became his wife, and he deeply loved her, and she was a special comfort to him after the death of his mother. What a great story, wasn't it? That was a good one. We see two things that are happening throughout the story. Number one is we see God's hand at work in these events as they unfold. I mean, what are the odds you're going to take 10 camels and you're going to travel the distance they did and come right up to a well and meet the woman that's going to marry your master's son? What are the odds? We can see God's hand in the story and the events as they unfold. God is putting his plan into place and God is preparing for his promises to be fulfilled. He's behind everything that happens. The second thing we see is that each of these main characters in the story put themselves in a position to be moved along by the hand of God. God's plan will be fulfilled. Jesus said, his kingdom shall come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I like the way Isaiah 46 says, God says, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish my purpose. I have spoken and I will bring it to pass as I have purposed. I will do it. So God will do what God intends to do, what he purposes to do. The question is, where will you be when it happens? Will you be on the inside taking part or on the outside looking in? The characters in the story today make sure that they were on the inside. They made sure they had positioned themselves so they could be a part of God's unfolding plan and his purpose. And we can learn something from each of them on how to position ourselves in a place for God's plan. So with the time we have remaining, let's look at the three characters very briefly and see what we can learn from their lives. Our objective is not to find a way to get God to fit into our plans, although many times that's how we try to do it, isn't it? We're going to go to God and pray and tell him what he needs to do. We're trying to convince God to just come in here and fit into our plan, right? Because we know the perfect plan? That's really not our objective. Our objective should be to find a way to fit into God's plan. God's plan is perfect. God will bring about his purpose. And we see the characters in this story. They give us a good example to follow. First of all, let's look at the servant. Abraham gave this man a tremendous task, didn't he? I mean, that's pretty big task. You go find a wife for my son. And she got to be the right one, too. You just can't go get any woman. You know, he lays it all out, you know. And by the way, your choice is important because the whole future of Israel depends upon your choice and the woman that you go choose to marry my son Isaac. Man, how's that for a task? That's a pretty good one, isn't it? And the Bible says the servant, he went about it the right way in every way. You know, when Abraham asked him to take an oath to get the job done, he took the oath. He promised, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do everything you said just like you say, Abraham. He also made sure he was straight on the details, as in, well, what if she won't want to come back here? We're going to carry Isaac down there? No, we're not going to do that. She's coming here. Okay, I got it. I got that part of the plan. I'm straight on the details. He also planned and prepared for the journey. He wanted to be sure on the journey he had everything that he needed to get the job done. He took an entire team with him, along with many valuables, so that when he arrived at this family's home, he wouldn't be empty-handed, but he could well represent Abraham and Isaac and everything that God had called him to do. And more importantly, he made it a matter of prayer. Verse 12, he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. And when God came through, notice in the story, he stopped everything he was doing and worshiped God. He praised God and gave God thanks. Praise the Lord God of my master Abraham. He did everything right. But you know what You know what I like best about this servant? We don't even know his name. We don't even know who he was. The story refers to him only as the servant. I wonder why. Maybe it's because his name is not nearly as important as his task. You reckon so? Even in his prayers, you'll see that his focus is not on himself, but his master. And I believe God was able to use this servant because he was the type of man that would say, you know, I'm not really an important person, but I got an important job to do, and I intend to do it as good as it can be done. Can you might imagine what would happen in your life if you were saying, you know, this isn't about me. It's about the God I serve. It's about the part he's called me to play. I don't need any top billing. All I need to do is to do what he's called me to do. Harry S. Truman was quoted as saying, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you do not care who gets the credit. And this is an attitude that God can use. You know, I'm really not an important person, but I do have an important job. And I intend to do it well, because in doing my job well, I fit in to God's purpose. That's the servant attitude. No wonder God was able to use him. Now let's look at Rebekah. When you read this story, you can see why God would use her and why he would choose to bless her in such a tremendous way. Like the unnamed servant, she does everything right, it seems. She meets a man when she's at the well to draw water. She doesn't know him at all, but when he asks for a drink, she responds with kindness and hospitality, and then some. Not only will I give you a drink, she said, but I'll get water for your camels too. You know, when asked for a drink, she could have said, well, I don't care. Help yourself, man. This is a public well, you know. Get all you want, you know. Or she could have said with a heavy sigh, well, here's a little sip. Get you a little sip. And, you know, hurry up. I got things to do. I got other stuff I got to take care of. I ain't got time to hang around here. But that's not what she did, did it? Her response was to go above and beyond the call of duty and to offer this water to this servant and to all his crew. You got 10 camels and all the help he had. I'm sure they were thirsty after coming across the desert. And when it came time to decide whether or not she would leave and go with the servant to marry a man in the foreign land, man, that was brave, weren't it? Leave with these people that you really didn't know. And, you know, she chose the path of adventure and faith. And she chose to do it now. She could have said, well, let me think about it for 10 days like my brother's talking about over there, you know. But she didn't. She said, I will return with them. Most people in the same circumstances, uprooted from home, suddenly married to a stranger, would be the ones needing comfort. But notice what it said, that after she became Isaac's wife, she was, in the words of the Bible, a special comfort to him after the death of his mother. It would seem that she would be the one needing to be comforted, but not Rebekah. She saw her husband was hurting and she helped him find peace. God was able to use Rebekah because she was a strong woman with a servant's heart. Her attitude might be described this way: I will serve and strengthen those whom God brings into my life, whatever it may take me. There's no limit to what God can accomplish in your life if you're willing to serve others. That was the mission of Jesus. He said, I've not come to be served, but to serve. And keep in mind that being a servant doesn't make you subservient. It doesn't make anyone less than anyone else. However, being a servant is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. When you commit yourselves to serving others, you'll find God's hand at work in the details of your life. Rebecca was willing to serve others. Now let's look at Isaac. He has only a small part in today's story, but it's a pretty important scene here. The Bible says he was out in the field taking a walk, meditating. The Hebrew word there translated as prayer can also be translated complain or lament. And in other words, he was out in the field pouring his heart out to God. He was distraught over the death of his mother Sarah, and he was probably distraught knowing that his father's time was soon coming. Maybe he was really uncertain about what the future would hold and how he would carry on his father's name. He didn't even have a wife, you know. And, man, he probably had a lot of questions, you think? And, you know, he's just pouring it out to God out there in the field, and all of a sudden, here comes Rebecca. Woo! The Bible said that he loved her deeply, you know, and it also said in the description of her, man, she was a beautiful woman. So he was probably knocked right off his feet, you know, and he fell in love with her. This is another detail like Rebecca's physical appearance referenced to earlier that you don't often find mentioned in ancient Hebrew literature, because marriage was more of a practical arrangement than a romantic adventure. You understand that? It was done for practical reasons. It might be to for some type of financial arrangement, or it could be a host of different things, but most of the time you didn't really marry anyone that you love from high school or anything like that, you know. But it happened to Isaac. The Bible says that Rebekah was a comfort to Isaac. And have you ever noticed to receive comfort that you have to open up your heart to that person? You have to be transparent. No games, no facades. No myths, truths, no stories. And this is who Isaac was. He was out in the field. He was transparent with God. He was transparent with his wife and generous with his heart. He was not afraid to open his heart to love. God was able to bless Isaac with a woman like Rebekah because he made his heart ready for a woman like Rebekah. Which tells us, if you want the hand of God to move along, to move your life along, open your heart to God and open your heart to those that he has placed in your life. Isaac's contribution to the story can be summed up in one simple phrase. Here's my heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Rebekah. And God is willing for all of us to say the same thing. And in conclusion, God has had a plan throughout Genesis for the people of Israel. And God has a plan for us today, for his church, for this community, for your family, and for your future. The question we have to answer is, will we be inside taking a part with what God is doing? Or will we stand out on the outside looking in? Isaac wasn't perfect. Rebecca wasn't perfect. We'll see that in weeks to come. But there was a reason why God was able to use them, and the servant too. There's a reason why these individuals found a place in the purpose of God. And it's a lesson we can learn from them. If you put yourself on the back burner, and put the work that God has called you to do and the people that God has called you to serve on the front burner, and if you'll give them all your heart, there'll always be a place for you in the purpose of God. I'm not an important person. but I've got an important job to do. It involves serving God and serving others with all of my heart. Father, we thank you for your word today and this story that's been preserved for us to read. It's a beautiful story, a true story. But it's a story that shows us how you can bring your plan and your purpose into being. We know you have a special plan and a purpose for us here at Deep Run. Help us to align our hearts with you and one another and serve as you lead us. And may Jesus be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. Turn to 483. Stand as we sing. Verses 1 and 2. With you today. Anybody have a word before we leave? Okay, remember the announcements. Have a good week. May God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Chris, would you dismiss us? Amen.